Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'm delighted to say we joined on the latest episode by Audrey, and we're going to talk about speaking honestly. Before we go into that, slightly cryptic, I think, title, do you want to just introduce yourself, Audrey, and we'll take it from there?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm Audrey Woodhouse, and I'm founder of the speaking consultancy and coaching business, Honestly Speaking.
Excellent. So, speaking honestly, what do we mean by that? Or what do you mean by that, Audrey? I think is probably a good place to start. And why is it important?
It's very important. I think it might interest you to know that the name of my business came about because in my sessions, I found myself often saying, so, honestly speaking, I think this. So before I gave feedback, I'm like, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to say this. And so it happened. The domain was available and I took it. And it works really well for me because honesty is my core value. And so I always try and turn up as honest. And what I find is a lot of people, when they think about speaking, when they think about public speaking or communicating well, leading a team through great communication, they think that they have to speak or show up as somebody else in order to be accepted or to appear together and to fit in and all of those things. And what they tend to do is they stop being themselves, they stop being honest. And unfortunately, we humans know when somebody is doing that, and we smell it, and we lose trust. And so it's not great for business. It's not great for growth. It's not great for relationships. And so it's important to me, and it's my purpose, and I help people to speak honestly. That's what I do.
And I guess what we talk about, and we did have a brief conversation before recording this, is about authenticity, which I guess is kind of it's a word I struggle to say sometimes, so I had to slow myself down there.
Authenticity, yes.
Yeah. So what was your kind of thoughts on that and how, and again, what that is and why it matters?
Right, yes. So when we were talking, I was saying, I really love the word, but I also really hate the word because it's become jargon. It's become something that so many people say that almost as soon as we say it, it's disregarded because nobody really believes anyone's being authentic anymore, because they don't really know what it is anymore. What is being authentic? So when you try to be authentic, then you suddenly become something else. And so when I've been talking about finding your authentic voice and speaking authentically, I've actually, as I did earlier, have gone back to the dictionary and reminded myself of what the word actually means. And it means reliable, genuine, trustworthy, of undisputed origin. And when you think of that, you go, oh, okay. So I just literally need to go back to me, myself, and show up as myself. And that for some people is really difficult to do. I get that. But that's what we really need, and we're crying out for it. In terms of human connection, in terms of our relationships, and for business well-being, we need that human connection. And if we think about leaders and we want to follow a leader, trust in a leader, buy into them, we need that authenticity and honesty coming through when they speak. Quite often when I start working with somebody, I don't work on the words that they think they want to say or the way that they speak, their stagecraft or their style. I go straight to the personal development, the coaching, finding out values, purpose, history, who are you, what's your story? And then we build up from there in an honest way where that person can own where they've been, where they are now, and where they want to go in reality, rather than showing up as something else or saying the words that they think people want them to say, rather, you know, like they should say, rather than what they want to say.
Absolutely. And I think this kind of, I think it's quite interesting as part of a, I guess, a bigger discussion, a wider discussion here. I think one of the great things over the last probably 15, 20 years is the amount of information that's available for all of us, you know, Google and everywhere else, we can find so much. But one of the negatives of that is there is lots of information. And therefore, we almost look at that and see whether it's somebody else or we read about things and we try to almost overcomplicate it actually sometimes. Yeah. And I think some most people who are not being authentic or not being themselves, they're not doing it out of in a manipulative way or trying to mislead people. It's just that they've kind of maybe overthought the thing. Do you think that's probably fair?
Yeah, I think there are a number of reasons. I think overthinking it is a big one. I think feeling vulnerable is another. Being defensive. So if you feel like you're going to be under attack, then you put the shutters down and you just show up as the person you think will be least attacked or has the biggest suit of armor on. I think sometimes when we think we want to sell, that's a big one, we find a language which isn't our own. I honestly think there are so many reasons why we might not show up as being honest, but I don't think there's ever any malice in it, as you say. It's just something that we humans do. And you know what? We do it more now than we have done because of our digital connection, because we're so used to being able to sit behind a screen or send a text message or an email. You know, those things have meant it's more difficult for us to actually speak face to face in person and just be completely ourselves.
Yeah, and I think there's as well, there's a kind of a maybe an element of probably most people at some point have worked in some sort of corporate environment. And one of the things that's probably changed for the better over the last however many years is things like, should we say, things relating to HR, human resources, and treating people better. But what actually that's done is put certain rules and parameters in place. It's almost like created a culture that we all need to be a certain type of person, whether it's, you know, I mentioned to you earlier, you know, I used to work in financial services. You kind of have to be this person in that world. Whereas I'm sure if you're in media or marketing, you also have to be this type of person. And that's, again, maybe one of the things that's almost kind of a indirect consequence of that, from a positive, is actually that thing where we've all think we've got to be something.
Yeah, I'd like to be really sort of positive about this and say I think we're coming out of the other side of it. I think there's a massive movement towards organizations supporting and encouraging their staff to be themselves.
Yeah,
like we include everyone, show up as you, because when we get you, we get the best version of you, being most creative, feeling free to come up with ideas, feeling relaxed and able to work to your full capacity. And I can really, really see that happening, especially with the organizations that I'm working with. I really see that, which is wonderful. And even in the financial sector, you might be happy to know that persona of showing up in your suit and shaking hands with your folder and making sure that everything is all in the right order and in the right place, and that nothing bad has ever happened to you and you've never done anything naughty and that you're absolutely perfect is actually just it's so outdated now. And we're getting human beings going, actually, I just really want to help you be safe and financially secure in the future, and you know what, I've got the knowledge to do that, so let's talk. And it's so much nicer.
100%. I've made a number of years since I was in that environment, so I'm sure it's improved. And I think what flashed through my head then actually was, probably most people remember, I think it was right at the start of the pandemic, I think it was on BBC News, someone was being interviewed and the kids came in the background and it was like, oh my God, shoo, get out. And there was kind of obviously things like Zoom became so big especially over the early parts of the pandemic, we were all using it. Yeah. And probably all of us had that experience where the cat, the dog, the kids, yeah, the wife, the husband, whatever, interrupted it. And now it's one of those things, now we all just go, no one bothers. Yeah. And it's like that previously we almost like pretended that behind that door there was nothing, there's nobody else, there wasn't a family, there wasn't kids, there wasn't whatever. Now we all know who they are, so what does it matter? And I think that's a big change actually over the last few years.
Yeah, it was like trying to create your own studio at home, pretending that it
exactly. Now if someone has, I don't know, the washing hanging in the background, who cares? You know, we all do it, we all have it. Yeah. and that's probably one of the positives, isn't it, over the last few years.
But again, I think it depends what context you're in as well. I think there are levels. So when I'm speaking, consulting with speakers who are leaders, obviously they're coming at it from a completely different level, and they do have an image and a persona to uphold whilst trying to be authentic. And I think then it becomes a little bit more complex for them, because how do you do both? How do you bring emotion and connection to an audience and still be of a certain status and help people feel safe that you're the leader and that you know what you're talking about, and they can feel safe following you? Thinking about politicians who speak, I can use three brilliant examples. So people always say to me, well, who is your favorite speaker? And I always say, and it's pretty obvious, I always say Barack Obama, because he's incredible. Even when he's delivering the most difficult information, he finds a way for his language to be really conversational and lyrical. He takes big, deep breaths. He's got lots of resonance in his voice. He's very careful about the words that he chooses. And even if it's bad news, he's trying extremely hard to connect with you on a very human level and say, it's okay. You know, I've got a plan and we'll be fine, even though it's not great. And we go, okay, thanks. You know, and it's just incredibly fantastic, because we still get that authentic man even in those very difficult situations. And we had the same with Jacinda Ardern. So I was talking about her on Radio 5 Live, and she was reading from a script, and she very openly did that, and she was clearly reading her own script. She'd written it herself, which, you know, leaders often have script writers, which I feel a little bit uncomfortable with. A good speaking consultant would never put words in anyone's mouth, but help them craft speeches which are true to them in their words. But she was clearly reading her own words anyway, which is wonderful. And she wasn't afraid to get emotional. She wasn't afraid to cry. She wasn't afraid to own up to some of her behaviors and personality types. And we liked her. You know, when I was talking on the radio, everyone was like, yeah, this is great. It's a great speech. It's a landmark speech that we will remember because of the way she said it and the things she said. And then we go to, unfortunately, someone like Rishi Sunak, who's lost a lot of trust and engagement with the nation because he's changed his speaking style. And I don't think he's done that deliberately. I think lack of time and the pressures of the job, being ill-prepared when he comes to speak, have caused that. And as he was speaking next to Boris Johnson during COVID and the pressure was off him, he was brilliant. Everyone's watching TV going, oh, he's pretty awesome. I wish Rishi Sunak was our leader, our prime minister. And we trust him. We like what he has to say. And then he becomes prime minister. He stands in front of number 10. He's robotic. He says a bag of words, which I can't remember, all of them put together to speak to us in a way that he or his advisors thought would reassure us, but actually we could tell that they were just a collection of words which were chosen to try and get us to feel safe or appease us or keep us quiet for a bit while they sorted out the mess and the crisis. And we didn't believe any of it. And so at the time when he could have won a nation over, when we really needed like to feel, yes, finally the mess is going to like, it's all going to go away. It just felt more messy and sparked this massive conversation again with me on Radio 5 Live going, yeah, unfortunately didn't quite work. And so it's just getting that really, really fine line. I mean, I wonder what would have happened if Rishi had said, I don't want to say that. This is what I want to say. This is what's happened up to this point, and I'm standing here now, and it's all rushed. The country is in crisis. This is what is important to me. This is why I'm happy to take on this leadership. This is why I'm happy to answer to the nation, and I'm going to say it. And I didn't hear that. I don't think anyone did.
No. And I think this is all so important as well, isn't it, for all of us, you know, to these lessons are great because they're high profile and we can all kind of identify with those examples. And I'd love to hear, I'll ask you a question in a minute about the kind of what and how people can do that. But I guess the impact that, and I'm sure you've worked with people who've taken themselves from X to Y where they've improved what they do. What kind of impact can that have, whether it's, I don't know, turning up to a business networking event or speaking on a podcast or speaking, you know, doing a 20-minute speak at one of the Northern Affinity events or whatever it might be. What kind of impacts have you seen with people and the difference it's made to them and I guess their business as well?
Well, it's going to sound really cheesy, but when
I like cheesy. Well, the cheesy is good. Cheesy's fine.
It does though. But when I get feedback and I get emails back to me or recommendations, I get things like, it's changed my life. I've done things I never thought I could. I didn't just smash one interview, I smashed two. And do you know what? I am going to be really honest with you. There are so many technical aspects of voice, presentation, all of those communication, all of those things I can teach you. But when we start with the person, when we work on the person, which I always do, that is when you get that dramatic change. So what I'm saying is, if you start to get really, really comfortable and confident about yourself and what you have to say and how you want to carry yourself forward in life and in business, it's a lot easier for you to stand in front of others and speak. It's a lot easier for you to walk into a room and network. It's a lot easier for you to deliver a keynote, even if it's the thing you thought you would never do. It's so much easier. And I think the biggest impact is, apart from changing people's lives, is that it increases your growth in an organic, natural, easy way. So you build lasting relationships because you're building your tribe. You're working with like-minded people because you're showing up as you. Nobody expects you to be anything different than what you show them. So if you think about that, they can only work with what they've got. So if we're going to give them our authentic selves, that's what they get. They can make a good, clear decision about whether they want to work with you, like you, hang out with you. And then you get really brilliant, productive, working relationships. I think confidence is a big one. So people will say, can you give me confidence? And I'll say, well, no, I can't give you confidence. Nobody can give you confidence. But here's what we'll do. I'm going to give you all of the tools and the techniques and the systems for you to learn, practice, and implement some speaking, and you're going to do it more often in these areas. And then you're going to learn from those. And then you're going to take that learning and you're going to add more in, and you're going to do a bit more. So what you're doing is you're turning that very small bit of confidence into a bigger zone each time. So you're moving out into that stretch zone where you're learning, having a bit of a dance around, coming back to me in your comfort zone, going, what did I learn? Okay, I felt safe. Nothing happened. I handled it. And then you're going to go out and do it again. And you only learn to speak by speaking. That's from the very famous Dale Carnegie in The Art of Public Speaking. You only learn to speak by speaking. So the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I think once people find their voice and they know they can stand up and speak as themselves, you know, they can even stand up and make a ton of mistakes. They can say all of those things, trip over their words. They can do all of those things. But you know what? If they show up at them as themselves, their audience will buy it. They will connect, they will empathize, and they'll be with you. And I think if I can create that impact for people, then for me, I'm happy.
That makes a lot of sense. And funnily enough, I was thinking, I went to an event last week, actually, and there was a number of speakers, and they're all really good. But one particular stood out for me, and not that he was like a mega, mega polished speaker or anything like that. He just came across as himself. I felt that if I was in the pub having a pint with him, he would have spoken the exact same way.
Yeah.
Or we'd, you know, whatever we'd been doing, it felt like that. Whether it was or not, I guess he's almost irrelevant. That's how I felt. So you warmed to that to that speaker.
I totally agree with that. I mean, when you're in business, you feel like you've got to be something different. So say for example, you are pitching because you need investment. Your tendency might be to write yourself a script with sentences, phrases, paragraphs of words in an order which you wouldn't normally choose to speak. And then you put on a different voice because you think, well, if I speak better, then they're going to trust me more. Now, there is an element of truth in that, but it's almost like, again, a bit of an outdated hangover from when the BBC would only employ people who'd had RP, that's received pronunciation lessons or elocution lessons. But that's not the case anymore. Your accent is really cool. It makes you individual and unique, and people love accents. And usually, if you're interested, people are more likely to trust a northern accent than a southern one. It's just how it goes. That's what people say in the survey.
Isn't there a thing like that call centres a lot are being put in Yorkshire because of the Yorkshire accent and something to do with it's the most trustworthy accent? I've heard that before.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it might have shifted a little bit to Birmingham or somewhere like that. But it's the north anyway. Let's just keep it.
the best area.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that all kind of makes sense in terms of, you know, why it's important. And in having a 30-minute discussion like we're having now, no one's going to be taught how to be the brilliant speaker. But I think what maybe if there's two or three takeaways for someone who's listening to this, that the next time either they're walking into a room of people they don't know or they're speaking in front of people, whatever it might be. What maybe two or three tips that you could kind of give people just to start thinking about that would really help them? And obviously with this podcast, probably most of the audience, people run their own business. So they're going to be going to networking events. They might get the opportunity to come on something like this with me or other people. They might speak in events with 30, 40 people there. They're not possibly maybe not doing speech in front of thousands of people, but still some really good opportunities for them. What few things kind of would you say to them to start thinking about and maybe little improvements that's pointing in the right direction?
I'm just trying to think of a few that would cover some of the things you've said. I think the first one, which covers everything, is breathe.
Useful life tip.
Yeah. So the reason why breathing's so important when you're speaking and wanting to present the best version of yourself is it calms you down, you know, a good, like deep breath. I'm talking about deep breathing here. So it calms you down. And also if you're breathing lower down in your lungs and not breathing in shallow breaths here, then you can take a lot of the stress and tension away from your upper body and send it down and away from you. If you just breathe with shallow breaths, then you can sometimes find yourself getting more and more tense. And if you're somebody who suffers with any anxiety around speaking or being in big groups speaking as well, you might not be that the eyes are all on you, but you don't like being in a crowded room, or you're naturally an introvert. I'm naturally an introvert, but I found strategies to deal with that. Breathing is really, really useful because it stops those flushes, the hot sweats, all of that coming. It also supports the voice. So if you want to be heard, then you can use breath to give you resonance and more sound and volume. And also, if you're thinking about breathing whilst you're speaking, what it does is it helps you to pace out. So you're speaking more slowly and people can hear you and understand you and receive your information in reasonable time rather than steamrolling. I think a great thing for networking, a lot of people think that they need to have, and some networking, it kind of freaks me out a little bit because you get a lot of people standing up with pieces of paper, reading from a piece of paper. So they read their own name, they read the name of their own business, and they read about their own business. So what they do, what they founded, from a piece of paper. And I'm thinking, right, okay, I don't trust you because you don't know your name, you don't know the name of your business, and you don't know about your business. Clearly you don't, because you have to read it. So the first thing I would say is just get that clear in your head, how you want to say it. Practice it out loud to the mirror, to your partner, to your kids, whoever, to the dog. Just say it out loud. And if it's going to be in a certain time, just press the timer on your phone and record it. If you want to get even better at that and you want to analyze the way you speak, just record it on your phone. No one likes to see themselves, but it's brilliant because what it does is it records the sound of your voice so you know if you're speaking clearly. It records what you're doing with your face when you speak. Sometimes we do weird things and we don't know. And it also times it. It's so quick and it will really, really help you have a little bit of self-awareness. Just get used to saying the words you know you're going to have to say, like say in 60 seconds or when you introduce yourself. Also in networking, I would say, don't talk about yourself. Ask a load of questions. Find out about other people. Find out clues about what interests them outside of their work. What hobbies do they have? You know, what kind of things do they like doing? So you can fully understand who they are as a person and get to know them that way. We're far happier working with people that we really like and feel are similar to us than just the product that they sell or the job that they do. And we're far more likely to recommend somebody if we think that they're a really great person and we want to see them thrive. And we're only going to do that if we know you and we like you. So just ask questions so you can start really honest, authentic conversations with them. What else would I say?
I mean, on that point, I think one thing I learned actually, which really helped me, and I'd love to know your opinion on this, was when you're kind of in that kind of networking in elevator pitch, all that type, whatever you want to call it, situation. I think, like you said, some people it can be either literally scripted as they've got it written down or the sound scripted. Yes. I found a really useful thing for me is to have maybe three or four words in my head that I want to get into that bit, and almost I will put them together as I'm speaking, but because they're my key messages that I want to get across. So for me, I might use like the words community, collaboration, together, probably my three words. And I can put them together in sentences that hopefully are relatively coherent without having to have that in script, and hopefully it doesn't sound scripted as well. And I know because I've used those words, I will have got my main point across.
Yes.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it sounds really free. And I think for a situation like networking and building relationships, it's really great. One thing that I do want to say, which I think is really, really important, and it kind of relates to what you've just been saying, is telling yourself and telling other people that you know exactly what you're talking about and you've been speaking in public for years. So therefore, you don't need to write down what you're going to say at the next presentation. If you're that kind of person, I want to tell you that I think you're wrong. I think you need to research every audience. you need to know that what you're going to be speaking about connects with them. And if it doesn't, you need to modify what you're going to say. And therefore, it requires you to brain dump it and get it all down and on a page or on your laptop or whatever. And then it requires you to go back to this with fresh eyes later and edit it and get some clarity and cut out things which are not necessary. Because there's nothing worse than somebody who goes, oh, I speak all the time. And actually, they're just standing there waffling. And we get lost in a lot of waffle because it's lost its clarity. So you do need to plan and prepare. And you need to know it. Once you edit it, you can annotate it. So then you can pull out those words which are important, underline them so you know that they're the ones that you're going to emphasize. You can mark in when you're going to speak. You can mark in light and shade so you get different sounds. And then after you've done an amount of work and you've built self-awareness around the way that you speak and how you want to deliver, you can then metaphorically screw up that piece of paper, throw it to the back of your brain, get on that stage and just speak after you've done the work. Don't think that you can just bypass it all and you get up there and your charisma is going to do it, because actually that's quite selfish. You're always in service of others when you stand up to speak in front of an audience, not the other way around. And you're not there just to go, oh, well, I'll speak and they'll like me. No, you have to give something in order to get something back. And so you've got to show up with, you know, something valuable for the audience to receive. So yeah, I would say prepare when you have an important message.
I think that's great. I think that's really great advice. And obviously I know you're going to be speaking at some of our events soon, so people will probably hear some more. But what is anyone listening to this podcast who maybe wants to find out a little bit more about what you do, Audrey, and the work, and maybe get in contact with you as well, Where's the best places to kind of look and connect with you?
Brilliant place to connect with me is on LinkedIn. It's my favourite social media platform. So it's where I do a lot of my dancing and playing around. You can also meet me on my website, audreywoodhouse.com, and you can book a free chat. You can have 15 minutes chatting with me, finding out stuff, asking me any questions that might have been raised up today or anything, you know, any questions that you want to ask relating to your needs. And you can also book me for sessions there as well. There's loads of stuff on there about how I help people and the projects that I've done. So I think that's a really good place to have a look and find me.
Absolutely. And as always with this podcast and the video, we'll put all the relevant links for people on the YouTube page and the various podcast platforms as well, so they can get a hold of you as well. So I'm sure that we'll find a way of getting people to you as well if they need to. I just want to say thank you for this. And I think it's such an important subject, and I know we're going to do more stuff in the future as well. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for your time. And I really enjoyed that discussion, and I've made some notes, and it means that I'm going to have to do some more things. So you've actually added to my to-do list, Audrey, but you know, that's this regular happens on this podcast, I'll be honest.
Thank you very much for having me. Can I ask, will you be on my podcast? Because I'm launching my podcast. Guess what it's called?
Go on.
Honestly Speaking.
I will be on your podcast. Not a problem. Well, thank you very much, Audrey.
Thank you very much. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for